We turn in our Bibles once again. This is the fourth week we have read from the opening verses of Romans, Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Each week we've reflected on a different aspect of these verses, reading from verse 1 to verse 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The theme today, sent to the world. And we're going to reflect for a few minutes on this phrase that the Apostle Paul uses about himself. He begins, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. Called to be an apostle. In the last few weeks, we've reflected upon Paul and a life that was transformed. This radical shift that took place in his life, his purpose, his destiny. First of all, we noted that he had an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. And of course, we read that, as we've reminded ourselves, in Acts chapter 9. We have this extraordinary account of this man, Saul, who met, to his great surprise, to his shock, his astonishment, Paul meets the risen Jesus. Everything then hinges upon that encounter. Everything changed for Paul because of that encounter. All of the letters he wrote depended upon that encounter with the risen Jesus. Everything he dared for, everything he sacrificed in his life from that moment on, rested upon this life-transforming encounter with the risen Jesus. And we reflected on the fact that Jesus is transformed from being a persecutor to being a proclaimer. His passion in life hadn't actually been to persecute. I don't suppose anybody set out deliberately to persecute other people. I don't think people do, but Paul's passion as a Pharisee was for purity. His deep passion. And if we had met Paul, this man passionate for purity, there'd be something we would admire about him. But as we noted, where there is a passion for purity, often the next thing that follows is persecution. Putting others under pressure to be pure. Casting out those who are not pure. Putting aside all those who don't match up to our ideal. And so Paul, passionate, loving God, his passion for purity turns to persecution. But he meets the risen Jesus. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. I'm Jesus. And by the end of that chapter, Acts chapter 9, by the end of the story, he has changed from being a persecutor to being a proclaimer. He goes. And though people are still afraid of him because they can't quite comprehend that this man has been so transformed, Paul goes and begins to tell people, first of all in the synagogues, this Jesus, he is the Son of God. and he proclaims to anyone who will listen that this Jesus is risen. And then last week, we reflected on his introduction again, Paul, a servant or a slave of Christ Jesus, recognizing that as the highest calling that any one of us can receive. Jesus said himself, if you would be great in God's kingdom, then you must choose the lowest place. And that's, for us, that's the world turned upside down. That's the world of nonsense and ridicule. That's not the way to success. That's not the way to achieve anything. You'll never get anywhere if you are a slave. And yet Paul, dare I say it, was proud to be a slave, because he knew as a slave of Christ Jesus, his identity was no longer the identity he'd created for himself over years and years of passion, of purity, of dedication to the scriptures, dedication to his faith. His identity now as a slave, well, his old identity had been erased. That just didn't matter anymore. His new identity as a slave of Christ Jesus came from his master, from Jesus. And he recognized, who is it that Jesus says I am? I am loved. I'm a son of the Father. I'm an heir of a great inheritance. This is who I am. I am destined for resurrection. And so his new identity as a slave, a servant of Christ Jesus, a slave of Christ Jesus, he chooses the lowest place because he knows this is the greatest. Because he knows he cannot have all these wonderful things unless he takes that place. So Paul, we've reflected, is a man transformed. His whole life has been transformed. This encounter with the risen Jesus, he has changed from persecutor to proclaimer, and he has chosen the place of the slave, and he encourages others to do so. Choose the highest calling, which is the lowest place. But he introduces himself also as an apostle, that opening statement. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The apostle Paul, called to be an apostle. That's, I often introduce him as the apostle Paul. What is an apostle? We might be familiar with the disciples as the apostles, but what is an apostle? An apostle is somebody who is sent out. Somebody who has been sent. When the apostle Paul, when Paul met the risen Jesus as he was going to Damascus, he was told to go and wait in Damascus. At the time he'd been blinded, he had to wait until a man called Ananias came to see him. God had spoken to Ananias and said, there's a man you need to go and see. You need to lay your hands upon him and pray for him. And Ananias, knowing the reputation of the fearsome reputation of this man who had been persecuting, didn't want to go. But God says, no, I have chosen this man. I am sending him out to the Gentiles, to everybody who is not a Jew in the world. I'm sending him out. And Ananias, you must go. And so Ananias goes with trepidation, I guess, to Straight Street. And there he finds Saul, prays for him. Saul's sight is restored. And Ananias tells him, God has chosen you to be his servant. He is sending you out to the Gentiles. An apostle is somebody who is sent out. But it's also somebody, not just somebody who's sent out, but somebody who has been entrusted with a message. Somebody who's been entrusted with a message. So an apostle is somebody who's sent, but before they go, there is a sense of, this is your message. Either to deliver to somebody or to embody. deliver a message, this is what God says, or I am the message. Look and see, I embody the message. And so, let's think for a moment. Sent. The first I'm going to put up is Jesus. Okay, let's have a little bit of feedback. What verses could we think of in the Bible where we would say, okay, there's evidence there that Jesus is one who was an apostle?
He was sent into the wilderness.
Okay, that's interesting. Yes. After his baptism, he was sent by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. He was sent there.
When he was baptized and God spoke to him, this is my son.
Okay, interesting. A message to him? Okay. Okay. Okay.
Apostle in that sense.
Embodying that message. Yeah.
Jesus said that he would only do what his father told him.
Okay. That's a good one. Yeah. So, in that sense, he is embodying the message. You'll kick yourself. Who knows what John 3:16 says? God so loved the world that he sent his son. God so loved the world that he gave his son. You know, the first missionary was, of course, God. God sent his son into the world. Jesus was sent to not just deliver a message, but to embody it. So Jesus, and Jesus is described, I think in Hebrews, he is described as the great apostle. He is the number one apostle. He is the one who was sent by God, and he embodied a message from God. And we often say, Jesus himself said in John 14, after he says to the disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the disciples turn to him and say, well, show us the Father. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I embody what God is like. Look at me and you will see. So, and in with Jesus, women. Now, not just women generally, women in the Bible. Women in the Bible as apostles. Excellent. So, didn't hear that. When they saw the tomb was empty, they went to get... They didn't just go to get the disciples. There's a tiny detail in that story. Pardon? They did go to anoint him, but there's another detail. The angel said, in one account, the angels say, in another account, Jesus says. Okay? You know, in some context, there's a whole debate, isn't there, about role of women. And the role of men, and men should be the leaders, and women. Do you agree with that? I mean, should I could start something off here, but the resurrection day, the first who were sent were women. In Mark's gospel, after the women had been sent to tell the disciples, Jesus later meets all the disciples and chastises them because they didn't believe the women's words. They were sent as apostles. Okay, and disciples. Okay, let's, in the Bible, where do we have this? I'm scratching a lot for some reason. Yeah, sorry about that. So, where do we find that? Go therefore into the whole world. Help them out. Matthew 28. Go therefore into all the world. Okay? So there is a very clear sending out. The beginning of Acts, Jesus says, "You are my witnesses," and sends them out. What are they witnessing to? They're witnessing to the fact this Jesus has been raised from the dead. Yes, he was a great man. He was a prophet. He was a healer. He was a preacher. But he's been raised from the dead. Everything has been changed and transformed since that event. An apostle is somebody who's sent out and trusted with a message. When we reflect on the scriptures, we find that this idea of apostle is not just limited to the disciples, but others also were sent out, entrusted with a message. When you read the end of Romans chapter 16, I think it's Andronicus, a man, and Junia, a woman, who are apostles among you. They had been sent. They had been entrusted with a message. And I recognize that the idea of apostle as somebody who, as an active word, being sent and entrusted, did become a title. It became a title particularly of the original disciples and Paul. They became teachers of the message about Jesus. And they were held in particularly high esteem because they had been there with Jesus. But at root, this idea of an apostle is one who is sent and entrusted with a message. So the Apostle Paul, transformed life, is sent, entrusted to be an apostle. But the second thing we need to note is that Paul was sent to the world to embody a message, which was very simply, come follow Jesus. This is who he is. In verse 5 of chapter 1 of Romans, through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship, this calling to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And this was the extraordinary thing about the apostle Paul. Up until Paul, there had been an understanding that the good news about God was very much for the Jewish people. And they received it sometimes with joy, that they had been chosen by God. They were God's chosen people. But when Ananias went to Paul and told him, "You are going to be my servant, my messenger, sent out to the Gentiles," every other people group on earth was to hear the news that God has raised this Jesus from the dead. Come, follow him. So no longer limited to one group, one people group, one ethnicity, but now out to the whole world. And the Apostle Paul, as we note, went and communicated with words this message about Jesus, challenging people, encouraging people, confronting people. Sometimes he was with women, sometimes with men, sometimes with the lowly, sometimes with kings and rulers. Paul took every opportunity. When on one occasion he was arrested, he appealed to Caesar because he thought, well, if I'm going to the Gentiles, I might as well go to the bottom and to the top. He appeals to Caesar. He wants to go and give testimony in front of the Roman emperor himself and testify, this Jesus has been raised from the dead. And he understood. Paul had it in him. He understood what it was to have an encounter with Jesus, the risen Jesus, and then to be sent, embodying this message. Come follow Jesus, hear the words, but then look at my life. Look at my life. Love, compassion, kindness, forgiveness, mercy, generosity. This is what it looks like to follow Jesus. And you might think of yourself, you might think, I'm not an apostle. I'm not an apostle. And I don't suppose any of us would ever think of ourselves as apostles. But each one of us is sent. Each one of us has been called to follow Jesus, and we have been sent. And we've been sent not just with words, but we've been sent to embody our message. I remember when I first became a Christian, first decided for myself to follow Jesus, I was particularly concerned with what I would say to people, what I would say to my friends at school. I think it was the booklet. Do you remember the Journey into Life booklet? You know, I was so nervous, I didn't know what to say. That was the key. I didn't know what to say. And so I would always have two or three Journey into Lives in my pocket. You know, if ever I got the chance. I remember one lad in a class, I realised he was doing it, but didn't comment. Somebody reached from behind me and stole a Journey into Life. And I thought, well, that's one way of doing it, isn't it? And then they read. I don't know if it ever made any difference. But I realise now that it's one thing to say the words to somebody. It's another to embody it, to live it ourselves. One of the commentators after the general election result the other day was asked, why do people vote in the way that they do? There are these big election campaigns. We hear what the leaders say and might read their manifestos, all these kind of things. And he spoke in terms of people's trust. They vote for the one they trust embodies the message that is relevant to them. And they're looking and saying, who embodies the message I want? And I thought that was just an interesting, it was just a one comment among lots and lots of words. But this idea, his reflection on many, many elections, is that people ultimately vote for the person they trust because they embody something that they like. And I don't know about you, but I think that's true for Christianity. I think it's true. As we are sent and seek to communicate, I think people look and go, is it true in your life? Is it true in your life? Can I read your life? Are you a good advertisement for what it means to follow Jesus? And of course, we begin seeking to embody the life of Jesus, and we try to do it all well, and then we crash and burn, and we know that we're broken people. And that is part of the honesty and the vulnerability of following Jesus, of embodying the reality of what it means to follow Jesus. So I want us all just to receive the encouragement this morning that just as Paul was an apostle, he was sent to embody a message that anybody could receive and become a follower of Jesus. And it didn't matter who they were, didn't matter what their lifestyle was, background, education, didn't matter who, everybody and anybody could be called and begin that journey of following Jesus. So we too can be those who understand we are sent to speak words, but also to embody. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, we do thank you again for Jesus. And Father, we recognize that for the Apostle Paul, his life was transformed utterly, completely, because he met Jesus, the risen Jesus. Father, thank you that you are continuing to transform our lives. And we don't pretend for a moment, Lord, that our lives are completely transformed. We are being transformed. We are searching. We are following. We are working out what it means to follow Jesus. Father, we pray that we might have the encouragement afresh today that we also are sent. That it's as if you stand next to us and say, okay, now it's your turn. Go and live. Go and live, trusting in God. Go and live as a follower of Jesus. Go out and communicate in whatever way you can the love, the kindness, the mercy, the forgiveness, the compassion of God. Gracious Father, thank you that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and in that you strengthen and encourage us in all that we do and in all that we are. May your blessing rest upon us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.